Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A wildfire is burning on an Army training range near Fort Greely. The Oregon Lakes Impact Area Fire is burning 7 miles southwest of the Missile Defense Base, but winds have pushed smoke from the blaze across the Richardson Highway and into the Big Delta area. A BLM Alaska Fire Service spokesperson says the fire is estimated at about 30 acres in an area previously burned in 2013. The fire service says the remote blaze is being monitored. Meanwhile, a state forestry crew is working a smaller wildfire in the Glen Allen area. The Moose Creek fire was reported yesterday and estimated at over 3 acres this morning. It's burning in grass and spruce on Otna land along the Taslina River, about 2 miles southwest of Glen Allen. State forestry says a helicopter was used to drop water on the fire, and 18 firefighters are working the blaze, which has been 50% contained. Both wildfires are listed as human cause, but no specifics are provided. This week's summer-like weather is increasing pollen counts in Fairbanks. Susan Harry tracks pollen for the Tanana Valley Clinic Allergy Department. Harry says pollen collectors on the roof of the clinic downtown are showing moderate levels of poplar, cottonwood, and aspen, and low levels of birch pollen.
Usually, with especially birch, we'll see it one day. The next day, it'll be triple the day before, and then triple again for 3 days in a row, and then it'll hit its peak, and it's right before the leaves pop out.
Harry says the first detection of pollens is a little earlier than normal and signals the start of a 3-month pollen season.
The first one we generally see is alder, and the next will be cottonwood, poplar, aspen, followed by birch and willow, and then spruce will come later, and that's usually what people notice. Unless we have a super high birch year, the yellow that you'll see on the cars, that's usually spruce because it's about 3 times the size of the other pollen grains. And then choke cherry, juniper will show up, followed by like grasses and then wheat in July.
Harry notes that the effect of various pollens on allergy sufferers hinges on weather, with dry, breezy conditions transporting pollens and wet weather knocking them down. The Fairbanks North Star Borough presented a proposed land sale to the public last night. Getting land into private hands is required by local code, and last night's meeting in Fairbanks was part of a series to describe the over 700 acres of tracts to be offered this fall. KUAC's Robin reports.
State law granted the Fairbanks North Star Borough 100,000 acres to sell off for revenue. The Division of Land Management regularly offers land for sale. Some parcels you can buy over the counter year-round. But the combined sale coming up this September is the biggest in a while, with 17 parcels selected by citizens and staff. The smallest is 3 1/3 acres. The biggest is more than 242 acres. Maps, posters, and binders for each parcel were spread around the auditorium of the Nolwien Library, where land management staff staged the first of 4 open house events to get comment on the parcels. Deborah DeLong found the material useful.
They've done a really good job of showing visual surveys for those who are visual, showing trails, they're showing where it is on the river, they're showing elevation, they're showing pictures, so you can kind of imagine, if you wanted to use it, what it would be like.
Lou Konetsky says he likes the idea of looking at land without getting bitten by mosquitoes.
I'm kind of curious as to what properties are for sale, how close they are to Fairbanks, and a possible building lot for my son. I'm not interested in a big parcel to develop, just a building lot, basically.
But not all the lots are for residential development. Some are off the grid, some zoned for agriculture, others suitable for recreational cabins. Sandra Mota manages the land division. She says the borough offers financing, so bidders can take time to pay off the parcel in full. The sale will open September 1st and close September 30th. Before that, there are more open houses to come. Moda says public comment influences which parcels are offered. Even though a parcel is on the list, it might not be included in the final ordinance that comes in front of the assembly if citizens think it should be pulled from the sale. That's exactly what Cam Webb came to find out. He took a good look at the 167-acre Petey Road tract.
I'm a neighbor there, and I walk out there and snowshoe and hunt there an awful lot. I know there's many, many people who are using this area for snow machining and off-roading, hunting and horse riding, and a lot of mushers out there. So I think there's a lot of people who are going to be kind of concerned about what happens to this tract.
Deborah DeLong says she got all her land questions answered at the open house.
Do you think you might buy a parcel of borough land?
At this time, no. I was looking at the river parcel, and they've done a very good job of describing it, so much so I decided I don't want it.
Each parcel is described in detail on the land management website, fnsblandsales.com. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Last night's meeting was the first of four on the land sale. The next one is tomorrow night from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Chena Goldstream Fire Station. The others are scheduled for May 8th at the Esther Fire Station and on the 14th at the North Pole Library. Competing crime bills are advancing in the Alaska legislature. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that four major bills proposed by Governor Mike Dunleavy have advanced to the Senate Finance Committee. The bills would increase penalties for sex offenses, reverse sentence reduction set in SB 91, create a new category of crime called terroristic threatening, increase bail, give judges more discretion on pretrial release, and reduce use of parole. House members have their own ideas on how to tweak crime law. The House Judiciary Committee has moved two bills that include elements of legislation advanced in the Senate. House Rules Committee Chair Anchorage Republican Representative Chuck Kopp said Saturday that the Judiciary Committee's version of one of the bills is a good starting point for making changes to criminal sentencing.
This has incorporated numerous specific requests from the law enforcement community. Over, I think, a dozen sections came directly from public safety. And more than that came directly from the governor's bill. It gives us a working document. There'll be more amendments. We know we need a vehicle to improve crime, and this gives us a good starting point.
Wasilla Republican Representative David Eastman criticized the bill's move by the Judiciary Committee as too complex.
I thought that we had learned a lesson from what happened with SB 91 and all of the subsequent fallout, even those who supported it had to support continual bills of revision because it was just so big.
Meanwhile, the House Finance Committee amended a bill intended to improve the reporting and timeliness of rape kit testing. The committee also added provisions closer to Dunleavy's proposals to reverse SB 91 sentencing reductions. Members of the House Majority Caucus planned to meet last night to discuss what crime legislation will advance to the House floor. Tomorrow's the deadline for the public to share input on use of popular federal recreation lands north of Fairbanks. Bureau of Land Management spokesperson Craig McKay says the agency is gathering feedback as a first step in development of a travel and transportation plan for the White Mountains National Recreation and Steese National Conservation Areas, including Mount Prindle and Beaver and Birch Creeks.
Trying to make sure that our inventory includes routes that people now use and reflects how they use those routes.
McKay says that's significant in light of evolving backcountry travel modes.
UTVs are one issue that's come to the fore. There's more availability of that kind of vehicle, more interest in using it, and there's much more use of fat bikes in the winter.
McKay says the next step is to evaluate the condition of existing trails and routes.
This is what you're doing well. Here's where you could improve things. We really want more of this kind of opportunity. And then finally, the third phase will be planning. Where do we go from here?
Comments, which can be submitted online, must be received by tomorrow. But McKay stresses that this is just the first phase of the planning process, which will include an environmental assessment to look at impacts of any proposed changes. I'm Dan Bross.